The fight for the future is now. This is The War Room with Owen Schroyer.
Watch the live stream at band.video.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. This is The War Room. It's the 27th of April, 2020. My name's Harrison Smith, sitting in today for Owen Schroyer. Quite a show I have for you today. Quite a bit of news over the weekend. Some good news, mostly bad news, but honestly, the tide is turning. And I think we see it everywhere. States are starting to reopen if they aren't going bankrupt. You see the sort of floundering of the desperate globalists as they attempt to squeeze as much as they can out of this crisis. We'll get into all of it and more. Greg Reese joins me in about 30 minutes. But first, here's his report on a very interesting press conference given by a couple of California doctors. Here it is, Greg Reese.
After testing thousands of people in their county for COVID-19, doctors Dan Erickson and Artin Massini, owners of Accelerated Urgent Care in Bakersfield, California, held a press conference to share their data along with official CDC data. Dr. Erickson reported that hospitals in California have become empty as a result of allotting all resources to the COVID-19 pandemic.
The hospitals, their ICUs are empty, essentially, and they're shutting down floors. They're furloughing patients, they're furloughing doctors, because we just don't have the volume. So we're busy with paperwork for COVID, and we're all focusing on COVID.
He then went over the COVID-19 numbers for the state of California.
We've seen 1,227 deaths in the state of California. That means you have a 0.03 chance of dying from COVID-19 in the state of California.
And for the state of New York,
19,410 out of 19 million people, which is a 0.1% chance of dying from COVID in the state of New York.
And then compared these numbers to the seasonal flu in 2017.
45 million total cases in 2017 with about 62,000 deaths, or a 0.13 chance of death from flu in the United States. So the lethality of COVID-19 is much less.
He then went on to report what is happening as a result of the shutdown and millions of hardworking people losing their jobs.
Child molestation is increasing at a severe rate. We could go over multiple cases of children who have been molested due to angry family members who are intoxicated, who are home, who have no paycheck. These things last a lifetime. This isn't about a seasonal flu. These are things that will follow these people and affect them in a negative fashion for their life. And these are for me talking to ERs, talking to my doctors, and talking to people across the country and finding out what they're seeing. Spousal abuse, alcoholism, anxiety, depression, suicide.
One of the most interesting moments of the press conference was when Dr. Erickson went on to explain the immune complex and how our immune system regularly adapts to our environment.
The immune system is built by exposure to antigens, viruses, bacteria. When you're a little child crawling on the ground, putting stuff in your mouth, viruses and bacteria come in, you form an antigen-antibody complex, you form IgG, IgM. This is how your immune system is built. When you take human beings and you say, go into your house, clean all your counters. Lysol them down. You're going to kill 99% of viruses and bacteria. Wear a mask. Don't go outside. What does that do to our immune system? Our immune system is used to touching. We share bacteria, staphylococcal, streptococcal bacteria, viruses. We develop an immune response daily to this stuff. When you take that away from me, my immune system drops. As I shelter in place, my immune system drops. You keep me there for months, it drops more. Sheltering in place decreases your immune system. And then as we all come out of shelter in place with a lower immune system and start trading viruses, bacteria, what do you think is going to happen? Disease is going to spike. And then you've got disease spike amongst a hospital system with furloughed doctors and nurses.
Dr. Erickson reported that he has been in contact with leading physicians throughout California, and that they are all in agreement.
And I've been working with some of the leaders, and I've talked to, you know, the head of the CDPH. I've gotten their opinion on this, and a lot of the leaders in Sacramento. And we're all in agreement. But we need to have Governor Newsom in agreement with us to lift this ban, because the data is showing us it's time to lift. So if we don't lift, what is the reason?
For InfoWars.com, this is Greg Reese.
Share that video by going to band.video. This is The War Room. We return with all today's news in 60 seconds. Stay with us, folks.
Yeah.
welcome, ladies and gentlemen. This is the War Room. Harrison Smith sitting in today for Owen Schroyer. A lot of great news to go through. A lot of the frustrating and terrifying and aggravating news to go through as well. So it's like every other day here at InfoWars as we delve plumb the depths of the internet and the news media to find the juicy little nuggets of truth there hidden amongst the piles and piles of lies and disinformation. So I've emerged from the mines to bring you this very valuable treasure that I have found. And before we get into any of today's headlines, which are numerous and incredible, including talk about Houston's pop-up hospital costing $17 million is being dismantled because it has yet to receive a single patient. Yes, very interesting stuff. We'll talk about the economy and the shutdown, the effect it's having. And as you can see, this cartoon behind me that bedecks my studio really lays it out well. COVID-19 has done some damage, tragic stuff. Deaths have been mounting for quite a while, but poverty is coming right behind and will be even worse. And so I want to start with a segment that I actually was contemplating for a long time before coronavirus ever started. And I'd sort of forgotten about it because I hadn't done it yet. And then COVID happened and all this stuff. And then I read this tweet by Donald J. Trump and it reminded me about this. And I realized this is exactly what we need to talk about here. In this world and in the experience that we are going through. The tweet is this from real Donald Trump. Remember, the cure can't be worse than the problem itself. Be careful, be safe, use common sense. It's a simple statement, but it sort of encapsulates everything that we're dealing with right now. The cure is going to be worse than the problem. So the idea that I had a long time ago had to do with the Hippocratic Oath. And that's a part of the Hippocratic Oath is exactly what Donald Trump is laying out here. And the reason I originally wanted to do it was not because of actually any medical reason, but because the Hippocratic Oath is actually a great just sort of doctrinal truth that should be in any trade, especially something like the information trade that we are in. And I'll read you the Hippocratic Oath and we'll go through parts of it in particular and especially how it relates to coronavirus now more importantly than ever. But it's also another thing about the Hippocratic Oath is that it's a symbol of our civilization. So our civilization is not really, you know, at its root, at its base, based on any religion, any particular race of people, any particular country of people. It's an amalgamation of all of these movements, all of these ideologies, all of these traditions that have come about for centuries before Christ and continuing on to this day. Much of our civilization is based on ancient Greece and sort of by proxy, ancient Rome, and just the incredible work that went on in those, you know, couple hundred years in Athens and this small town, you know, on the island in the Aegean. It's an absolutely amazing metaphysical wonder what the people of Greece were able to achieve. And that's why, you know, when you think about our civilization and the great things that we've done and our cultural heritage, it's not exclusively Christian, I should say. It's more of an amalgamation of Christianity colliding with this underpinning of Greek philosophy. So here is the Hippocratic Oath. It says, I swear to fulfill to the best of my ability and judgment this covenant. I will respect the hard-won scientific gains of those physicians in whose steps I walk and will gladly share such knowledge as is mine to those who are to follow. And again, when I was first thinking about this, I was sort of switching out all of the ideas about medicine to ideas about information and news and secrets and the occult and that sort of thing. And so all of this applies, right? You have to respect the people that have paved the way. You have to respect the Alex Joneses and the Julian Assanges and I'm blanking on his last name, Gary, who did Dark Alliance, who was killed for his work undercovering the massive trade of cocaine in the 80s. And these are the people that have come before. So again, this oath is not specifically about medicine. It's about how you conduct yourself, how you show appreciation for what has come before and how you lay the groundwork for those that have come at, or those that will come after rather. So it says, I will apply for the benefit of the sick, all measures that are required, avoiding those twin traps of overtreatment and therapeutic nihilism. Now, if there are two things that define our society at this point, it is these two supposed to be avoided situations, right? You have overtreatment, which is what we're going through now. And this is in the Hippocratic Oath. It says, look, don't overtreat. You can hurt somebody more trying to treat them than the sickness itself can cause. it's an important thing that we have completely forgotten as we stampede to shut down all the stores and inoculate everybody in all of this madness. But the other part, therapeutic nihilism, is really, it's almost the defining standard of our entire world, therapeutic nihilism, right? It feels good to give up. It feels good. It's therapeutic to say, there's nothing I can do to fight this. And so the people that aren't interested in upholding your health, aren't interested in actually curing you or providing a therapy that actually treats the underlying causes of the symptoms you're experiencing, it's much easier to just have this therapeutic nihilism, this therapeutic idea of, you know what, the cancer's already got you. Just go lay down, go enjoy yourself because you're dead already and there's nothing you can do to cure yourself. That's what we're trying to avoid. That's the entire, you know, underpinning of our modern society that we here at InfoWars and people who rebel against the modern world are trying to get rid of, this therapeutic nihilism, this feeling good in being nihilistic, this feeling good in giving up. It's something that should be avoided at all costs. It also says, quote, I will remember that there is art to medicine as well as science and that warmth, sympathy, and understanding may outweigh the surgeon's knife or the chemist's drug. And this appears in the Hippocratic Oath a couple times where it's saying you're not treating a robot. You're not treating a computer. You're treating a human being. And in fact, this has to do with the placebo effect. It has to do with the mindset. Any doctor worth his salt will tell you, somebody in a good mood is going to cure faster than somebody in a bad mood. Somebody who's hopeful will cure faster than somebody who is engaged in therapeutic nihilism. There's a reality to our mind. Our minds have an effect on the world around us and on ourselves especially. You know, the placebo effect is so powerful. You can even tell somebody it's a placebo. You can go, this sugar pill is going to cure your headache. And it'll work. It'll cure the headache. Even though they know consciously that it won't, subconsciously, the act of trying to do something to cure yourself will actually sort of kickstart that process. We don't understand the world fully. So to act like we do, to act like we are just programs, computers that can be manipulated with ones and zeros and have a determined outcome is not true. You have to treat everything with, you know, looking through the eyes of these are humans, these are people. And again, you take this out of the medical world and into the world of information or news gathering or whatever it is. And you go, these aren't... the stories that we're reading aren't of fictional characters. They're real people, and you have to keep those people in your mind as you go through. Here's the most important part to me. It says, quote, I will remember that I do not treat a fever chart, a cancerous growth, but a sick human being whose illness may affect the person's family and economic stability. My responsibility includes these related problems if I am to care adequately for the sick. So maybe somebody needs to remind Dr. Fauci and all these other experts that are in charge, destroying our economy, destroying our way of life, inhibiting our ability to enjoy ourselves or be fulfilled or have hope or any of these things. Send them to this and say, have you forgotten your oath? Have you forgotten the Hippocratic Oath? And that most important part, that these are human beings and that all of this interconnecting, you know, family and society and economy, all of this, it literally says economic stability. And this is talking about a single human. When you extrapolate this to entire society, an entire country, it's that much more important. You can't just act like it doesn't matter. You can't just say, we'll just send them a $1,200 check and call it a day. You have to remember that the economy, people being able to have jobs, people being able to go outside and enjoy themselves, all of that is part of the healing process. And it goes back to that video that I showed you in the previous segment of the doctors saying that exact thing, saying my immune system is strengthened by introducing viruses. Our immune system is strengthened by going outside and interacting. We are not fragile little computers that need to be protected and everything with a firewall up so we can run our little programs. We're supposed to interact with the world. We're supposed to interact with each other. We're supposed to get better by building ourselves stronger, not weakening and separating ourselves from everybody else. So we have to keep this in mind. And as we go through today's show, I'll sort of be bringing this up and talking about how, as we look at these stories, we have to take into account all of the things that the Hippocratic Oath draws our attention to. More on the other side, and Greg Reese joins me in 30 minutes. Don't go anywhere, folks.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
I
I suppose this is as good of a time as any to make a special personal announcement. As you may know, if you're a regular listener to the program, myself, Owen Schroyer, Rob Dew, we all got our Twitters deleted recently, a week or so ago. It's been brutal. I understand the error of my ways now. I apologize sincerely to the Twitter shadow government that punished me. I've learned my lesson. Okay, I've learned my lesson. And as I think it was Jared Holt wrote the article, he said, you know, these accounts, they were circumventing the ban of InfoWars, because when you ban an organization's Twitter account, obviously that means anybody that has ever worked for that organization can no longer have a Twitter account, right? That's the logic they use. And so my Twitter account, Off Limits News, was destroyed. And I won't make that mistake again. I've learned. So my new Twitter account is perfectly personal. I don't even know if I'll be tweeting out links to the show. I don't know what I'll be saying, but gosh darn it, I wanted a Twitter. And so I made a personal one that hopefully will not be deleted for at least another year, like my last one was. So if you want to go out and follow me on Twitter, I have zero followers and I'm following zero people. I just put out my first tweet today. The Twitter account is Harrison the Good. I'm a good boy. Harrison the Good, at Harrison the Good. Follow me. I'll follow, you know, anybody who follows me today, I'll follow them back immediately. You will be my seed funding. You will be my very first follows. And I look forward to being back on Twitter and being a good boy. Harrison the Good. I've never been on Twitter before. And I got that name from Phocion the Good, who was an ancient Greek thinker. And that was the appellate, that was the nom de plume that Thomas Jefferson used when he was writing anonymously. He would call himself Phocion the Good. And actually, about a month ago or so, I tried to make a Twitter account called Phocion the Good. And that lasted about one day before they kicked me off for circumventing the ban. So follow me today. It may be the last day you can follow me because I may be kicked off of Twitter again tomorrow. But we'll see. We'll just see. I'm just out in the open, out in the sunlight here. I'm not working in the shadows. I'm not being mischievous. Now I have a personal Twitter account and I'm going to be a good boy, I promise. Harrison the Good. All right. We talked about the Hippocratic Oath in the last segment, and Scott came in here with the original Hippocratic Oath, which has some very interesting points in it that are missing from the modern Hippocratic Oath. Wonder if you can guess what they are. It says here, I will neither give a deadly drug to anybody that asked for it, nor will I make a suggestion to this effect. Similarly, I will not give to a woman an abortive remedy. In purity and holiness, I will guard my life and my art. Just think about this. Just think about the fact that worshipers of Apollo who are making an oath to, you know, these ancient gods of plague and death, and, you know, they weren't Christian, but somehow they're more moral, they're more upstanding, they're more righteous and holy than our modern day doctors. So not a big surprise, I guess, but interesting nonetheless. And again, when I talk about doing, previously when I wanted to do this segment about the Hippocratic Oath, I wasn't even thinking about it in a medical way. I was thinking about it in terms of national policy, in terms of the ills of society, and treating the country, treating our civilization like a person that is sick, because obviously we're deeply sick. We are on our deathbeds. We are struggling to survive. We're being propped up by machines. It's not looking good. Outlook does not look good. And so to cure ourselves, we have to look at ourselves in a way that a doctor looks at a patient. And what's one of the primary, just most basic tenets of treatment in the medical industry? It's that you don't treat the symptoms, you treat the cause, right? Our entire society is obsessed with treating the symptoms that we're experiencing without going to the underlying causes and finding out what is bringing about the inequality that we see, the struggling that we see, the depression, all of this sort of stuff. What is the cause? And it goes straight to something like depression and mental illness, and the fact that, you know, some huge portion of America, and especially women in America, are on mood altering pharmaceuticals. And this is like the primary example of treating the symptoms and not the cause. Oh, you're depressed because you live in a box and you're 45 and you have a cat and a job that you kind of hate but are stuck in. It's like, this is the cause. The symptom is that you're sad. And what do? They treat the symptom. And this goes through everything that we talked about, everything Alex Jones was talking about on his show earlier, talking about wanting to get a vaccine for depression, right? A vaccine for anxiety, a vaccine for religion. You can, you know, they'll manipulate your brain to eliminate that part of your mind that cares about religion and tradition and, you know, vaccinate you against that. And it all ties in together. We're treating the symptoms and allowing the causes to go unchecked. You know, just like if you have a lesion on your skin, you can put lotion on that, but it's the cancer underneath the skin that you really need to be treating. You can treat the symptom. That's fine. It's not going to go away because the underlying cause hasn't been addressed. So that's what we're trying to deal with every day when we come into InfoWars and try to treat the ills of society by going after the causes and not becoming distracted by the symptoms. And so, as Donald Trump puts it, the cure seems like it's going to be worse than the disease. In this case, a real disease, coronavirus. This is from CNN.com. Here's the headline. The food supply chain is breaking, Tyson says, as plants close. Now, Tyson is really a good example of why the ideology that drives globalism is a destructive one. Because what happens when you have one hub where millions and millions and millions of people are getting their sustenance from that one hub? What happens when you have Tyson or McDonald's or any of these giant food companies that process just 100 million chickens through their plant, and then that goes out and feeds the world instead of what is more natural and real, which is, you know, if you could really get it down to family farms, that's the best, right? That's the ideal. And on the other end of the spectrum is the Tyson food massive warehouse factory farms. And that's horrible. And it's horrible because if you have these millions of cows or chickens or whatever it is, well, what happens if, you know, if a disease hits a small family farm? It affects that farm. That's sad, but usually it's contained there. Well, what if it hits one of these warehouses with millions of chickens? Everything goes to hell. So what do you have to do to treat it? You have to bleach everything. You have to pump them full of antibiotics. You have to do all of these draconian, disgusting technological machinations in order to prevent that type of thing from happening because you are in such a concentrated sort of system. And so it's revealing the weakness of our overly organized society, of our globalistic mindset that, again, can be extrapolated even farther to, instead of just a company that is supplying all the food for the states, then you go out and you go, well, actually, you know, they send chickens to China to have their feathers plucked and then ship them back. And is this a good idea? Yeah, I wouldn't say it is, but that's the headline from CNN. The food supply chain is breaking, Tyson says, as plants close. Story on InfoWars.com. The food supply chain is breaking and we're being warned that meat shortages are imminent. And then you have this tweet from Molly Page at Idaho Molly. She says, farmers in Idaho are dumping their potatoes. I went to Picabo today to see the discarded pile. Commercial demand has fallen and there's no market for extra potatoes. If y'all can bring this up, it's just a picture of just a mountain of potatoes that have been left to rot. And after she brought awareness to this, people went and got the food and are now donating it. And it's good. But you also have USDA letting millions of pounds of food rot while food bank demand soared. So, folks, yes, states are starting to reopen. Things are starting to look like they might get back to normal. But we are just beginning the destruction that is being caused by not the coronavirus, but the mismanagement of the response to the coronavirus.
The War Room. InfoWars.com/show. Warning, this broadcast contains subject matter
that might trigger
liberal snowflakes. It's The War Room with Owen Schroyer.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The War Room. Harrison Smith sitting in for Owen Schroyer, joined by InfoWars rock star Greg Reese, who has been absolutely destroying the mainstream media's fake dichotomies that they've been putting up. Just this weekend, you've come out with like four videos that are all just bombshell. I'll probably play them all in the show today. But I always love talking to you because, like, I can bring up something that I think I'm the only one who's thinking about this. I'm the only one who has maybe noticed this thing, strange thing, and then I bring it up to you, and you're like, oh, well, let me tell you the history of that. And I'm like, oh, okay, Greg's already on it. And we were just talking about this idea of philanthropy, how these people use this term philanthropy to cover all of their evil machinations. You said it came from a Greek word.
Yeah, if you were to, like when I was curious, so I just Google searched philanthropy, and then interestingly on the sidebar, you see just, you see multiple pictures of Bill Gates among other philanthropists.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned that the word takes its claim from a Greek word, philanthropopos or something, which means basically it combines two words and it means love of human beings. Mm-hmm. But it was never used in the way it's used today until the 17th century. And then if you look into the history of philanthropists, aside from Peabody and Carnegie, it's basically just people that have been bringing about population control and wars and, you know, George Soros, Warren Buffett's, Bill Gates is like number one, of course. Mm-hmm.
Well, and I was looking into this because I was looking into this article, which I did a big breakdown of, and we've talked about extensively, Scenarios for the Future of Technology and International Development by the Rockefeller Foundation, came out in 2010, lays out perfectly exactly what's going on today in a situation they call lockstep. It's a scenario planning. They have four scenarios. They're attempting to predict the future, and it's all about philanthropy. So I was looking into that as well. And, you know, one of the examples was this guy Benioff, who now owns Time Magazine. I believe he owns Salesforce, which is the employer of the person that wrote this article. And they go into his philanthropy. And what is it? Well, he's giving money to charities and they're creating transgender, you know, clinics. And, you know, his philanthropy has to do with, you know, destroying local ordinances that would improve free speech or religious, you know, freedom by saying, we'll pull everything out of that state if you pass that bill, you know, or just like the NBA did with Georgia, saying, if you pass that abortion bill, we're pulling out. That's philanthropy to them because basically it's just a cover word, meaning putting forward our ideology, pushing forward politically, using our money to achieve change in the world. But it's good because we love everyone,
yeah,
even though it's disgusting and terrible.
It's in our title, philanthropy. That's what it means.
Yeah, how can people. It be bad?
Yeah. Right? You know, I've been researching it. And another thing I found, and a lot of our listeners probably know this because it seems to be very common knowledge, but I just never heard of it before, was that it seems like Bill Gates is continuing the work of Monsanto. Mm. He bought up a ton of shares, I think 500 million shares or something in 2011 or 2010. And then the timeline's interesting because Monsanto used to be in the news all the time. You know, it was like the world's most evil company.
Mm-hmm.
We don't hear about it much anymore, but these hundreds of millions of dollars that the Bill Gates Foundation is giving to Africa to help starvation comes with the patented GMO Monsanto seeds,
mm-hmm,
that are incentivized, that they, you know, they're pushing all these Monsanto. And the thing is, you know, they own the patents on these. And so their stated goal, Monsanto's stated goal, was to own patents on food all over the world.
Right.
And when you combine that with these people that are into population control, I mean, all they got to do is stop giving seeds out, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and when you know, the evil companies, and so this is the sort of intellectual inconsistency that you find on the left, because, you know, they'll profess to hate corporations like Monsanto or Northrop Grumman or whatever, and BAE and Lockheed Martin, all these horrible systems. And then you go and you look at the think tanks that are pushing leftist policies, and they're all funded by these exact same organizations. So it's like, well, how are you for what these organizations are doing, but you profess to hate them? It doesn't make any sense. And that's what you see sort of embodied here. And just to get into sort of the conversation we were having last week when I was talking about the scenarios for the future of technology and international development, what this lays out very clearly, and again, it was written in 2010, it has four scenarios. Two of them are sort of their preferred one. The first one is called Clever Together. And you can see, if y'all had it up a second ago, it's like, you know, it's all these multicolored hands holding up the globe. It's like the clear favorite that they want. And that's where that's the path we were headed down basically until 2016, when suddenly everything got derailed and it didn't look like we would willingly go along with their plans. That's what Clever Together was this conception, this scenario where everybody just goes along with us, just, you know, joins in with globalism and where they don't have to be forced. And that's the road we were going down. And then when 2016 happened and that sort of went off the rails, then they bring in lockstep, which is like, they're not coming willingly, so we're going to force them. And lockstep scenario is the one in which they lay out this disease swept over the world and all of these countries use it as an excuse to grab power. And isn't that a good thing? And that's the situation that we're in now. So it's sort of a plan A, that we foiled it, right? We, the American people, by electing Trump, and the British people by electing Brexit, and by just the popular expression of our will to destroy these globalists, we've prevented their plan A from occurring. So they've gone to plan B now, which is total control by force.
Yeah. And that was a great conversation. you know, everyone's been so busy here, and it was like a late night. I happened to run into Harrison here in the parking lot, and I haven't seen him in a while. And so we started talking about this, and I only read about the lockstep in it, and you started kind of enlightening me to the rest of it. And what I found the most interesting was Plan A, the, you know, the Green New Deal,
clever together,
global warming, clever together, because it makes me sick, but I feel very, I'm convinced that there are probably millions of people that are complying to this whole COVID reaction, knowingly, knowing that it's nonsense. Mm. And they just think that they're just going to keep their mouth shut, and this is all going to lead all of us ignorant, stupid people into this utopia, you know? Yeah. And, you know, I think a lot of the new age yoga community, a lot of the hippie community, they've all been sort of roped into this idea. Like globalism is like a Star Trek kind of way into the future. And we're just a bunch of, you know, dumb, archaic people living in the past.
Yeah. Well, and they have these statements in there that are exactly what you're talking about, where they just use these little terms, like they'll say traditional and social barriers to decreasing poverty. You go, I want to decrease poverty. That sounds great. But what social barriers are you talking? Are you talking about the fact that maybe we want to have a woman in the home so she can be a wife and a mother and raise her kids, and so she doesn't go out and get a job? Is that a social barrier to poverty that you're going to try to destroy? Because I think it's better to be a little bit poorer and have, you know, families that can sustain themselves with one income rather than destroy that because you want to increase profit and trade and control, which is what their real goal is. They just couch it in these things about, yeah, we're eliminating poverty or whatever it is.
If you want to control the whole world and you're a psychotic idiot, then I can imagine the desire to want to trim the herd down to make it more manageable, because they really can't handle managing this whole world as it is right now. And I think that's just the bottom line. Maybe they were born into it. Maybe they have a legitimate, you know, document that says that they kind of own this planet. I don't know. But
yeah, I'd like to see that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Present the evidence that you belong on top, disciplining and controlling everybody. And in fact, they have these quotes spread throughout this document that really, you know, reveal what they want. I mean, this is one of the quotes that they're sort of endorsing here. It says, "It is possible to discipline and control some societies for some time, but not the whole world all the time." And it's like, I'm sorry, who the hell are you to discipline me? Who the hell are you to control me? And I mean, this is what they want, right? They're saying, look, we know we want to discipline and control everyone, but we got to take it piecemeal. It's all revealed here. The mask is off.
Yeah, the mask is definitely off. That's the good news. The other good news is we're done with Uranium One and Spygate, which was, for me, the most frustrating thing about the last 3 years is focusing on these, in my opinion, small crimes that aren't going to accomplish anything. But now we have this, I mean, just the investigating the NIH with the $3.5 billion with Wuhan, that alone should take us exactly where we want to go if we can actually get some real justice behind it.
Yeah, it's, you know, it goes both ways. When they make their move, that's the opportunity to counterstrike. So we'll talk about that and more. We'll get into the money flowing in and out of Wuhan, China, and more with Greg Reese. This is Harrison Smith. This is The War Room. Infowarsstore.com is where you go to support this program and everything that we do here. We thank you when you do that. We'll be right back.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
All right, folks, Greg Reese and I are talking about the Waco series. Really great series. If you haven't watched it on Netflix, I think it was a Showtime series actually first. I don't think Netflix produced it, but very good stuff. And yes, you may have seen there, if that was on air, we have the memes are pouring in. The memes are coming in hot and fresh to the @HarrisonTheGood Twitter account that I created today for the first time, and I've never been on Twitter before. So thank you all for following me, and I will be following you back very shortly. Now, we were talking in that last segment about these scenarios for the future of technology and international development, and how they have a plan A, which is like everybody just goes along with what we want, and everybody's happy. And then you have plan B, which is, okay, we poison the entire world and then bring it about by force. And I was talking about how it sort of reminds me of The Sopranos, where, you know, the way the mafia works, they always give you that plan A, right? They go up and they, we like this bar that you got. It's a lovely establishment that you have here. We're interested in purchasing it. And that's plan A. It'll be very easy. Nobody has to get hurt. And if you refuse plan A like we did in 2016 by electing Donald Trump and, you know, Brexit and just standing up against the globalism, then they resort to plan B, where they're kicking in your door and breaking your knees and forcing you to do what they want. And it's like, you know, we're saying, why can people who love globalism not recognize that these people are just gangsters? They're just the mafia. They're just a global, worldwide mafia that's pulling the strings.
Yeah, and you know, the people that, when you try to tell people about this stuff, a lot of things people say is, you know, politicians don't act like that, or, you know, these people are nice people, they're not that bad people, and stuff like that. And I don't understand the disconnect, because the same people, they're not going to argue the reality of the mafia to me. You know, they're going right. They're going to recognize that the mafia is real. And so I don't, that to me is one of the strangest things, is that disconnect. It's like in The Godfather, when Kate, I think is her name, is telling Michael about how naive he is to think that, you know, politicians have people killed and stuff. And he says, you know, you're the naive one.
Right.
It's a weird naivety, naivete, though, because it's like, how is one any different than the other, you know?
Yeah, well, one just has more money and has a greater ability to cover themselves because they're in league with the media and everybody else. It's like, you know, but once you put it in that context of the mafia, of the mob, of these related families all interconnected and pulling the strings and staying behind the scenes and using force and violence to get their way because they care more about, you know, their own power than actually helping people. Well, it's very clear. It's a very apt metaphor, yeah. I think, for globalism in general.
It's actually very connected, too, because the Cosa Nostra, the mafia, the Cosa Nostra back to the Knights of Malta, to the Italy, the Vatican, which is where I think this is all centered in anyways, or at least it's definitely one of the biggest headquarters that we know of. And so it's all connected.
Which, of course, came out of the Roman Empire, which had a very mafia-esque sort of establishment, where you had one guy who was a leader of a family and he would have his underlings. And that's actually how, like, the Republic worked, is he would get all of his people to vote for things. And every day, as a regular Roman, you would go and sort of pay tribute to your mafia leader, your Don. And he would, you know, he'd be the one that provided you the food and everything. So yeah, these are not new, social establishments, social, you know, relationships that we're dealing with. These are literally thousands of years old. They're baked into our DNA. It's just that we've been able to overcome that and create a better system that is now under threat from these people.
Yeah.
Really incredible stuff. Now, we have a video of Bill Gates defending China. I'd like to go to that, but you came in with an article here that you want to discuss.
I think this just came out today, April 27th, and you can find it on CoreyDiggs.com. And the article title is "Investigations and the Battle for a Vaccine, Where is This Headed?" And Corey Diggs, if anyone isn't familiar with her work is great. She definitely does her research and sources everything very well. And it's an interesting timeline. The main thing that I look at here is the timeline of events. And it appears as if there's some type of battle going on behind the scenes between President Trump and Bill Gates. For example, I should have made a note.
Right. Well, it's the duly elected actual leader, the president of the United States by popular demand, versus the unelected, appointed, self-imposed priest class, as Alex Jones puts it, which is just the most apt way to describe how, you know, Bill Gates, who's sort of the pope of this new priest class. Nobody voted for him. Nobody wanted him. He's a little, I won't say what I think he is, but and we'll watch a video of him kowtowing, which is an interesting word, too, because it comes from China. But yeah, there's a clear battle, I think, if you're paying attention, between sort of the powers that be and the powers that should be.
Yeah. Like, for example, on March 30th of 2020, on 3/30/20, the FDA authorized emergency use of hydroxychloroquine and chloroquine products. On that same day, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, along with MasterCard and Wellcome Trust, they funded $20 million towards clinical trials of therapeutics, including hydroxychloroquine study hydroxychloroquine study at the University of Washington, which interestingly enough came up with not so good results about the drug, and they didn't use it mixing it with zinc. It was one of our writers, Kellen, was just telling me that when they did that study, they did it on its own. They didn't do it mixing with the zinc.
Right, which is where it really gets its effectiveness.
And then it goes on, and the timeline seems it seems very interesting, and you know, it gives a little hope that maybe there's a battle going on in the right direction. I think as long as they actually investigate the $3.5 billion that the NIH gave to Wuhan, that should lead to all the truth we need.
Yeah, and the headline here at Breitbart from Giuliani, Rudy Giuliani, who of course is if we're using the mob, the mob metaphor, this is the enforcer, right? He's the consigliere or whatever you say from of Donald Trump. He says Fauci gave $3.7 million to Wuhan Laboratory in 2015. Of course, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. drops new bombshell. Bill Gates' coronavirus vaccine will pay out billions in profits to Dr. Fauci's agency once that goes into effect. So, it's becoming very clear now. And I hope through this, people who are just following the news maybe casually are starting to become awakened to this reality that the people who are professing to help you are in fact pursuing their own agenda.
Yeah.
Hopefully people are realizing that with just how obvious it's becoming.
Oh, it has to be the biggest red pill in all of history, I would imagine, what we're experiencing right now with the COVID-19. It's just a matter of how many people now. I mean, I think it's going to be a numbers game of how many people are going to wake up, and because we can't just expect the president to do it all. We need the support of the people to push on this whole thing. But this, I got the number wrong. It's 3.7 million. I think I was saying 3.5 billion. But the point is if we go down this hole judiciously and do this investigation, this is going to lead to everything we need. This is going to lead to basically Bill Gates and depopulation and the whole, and if we go there, now we're talking some real justice, because that should take care of everything.
Yeah. And you know, there are lots of these rabbit holes that would lead to the rabbit warren, to the big den where they're all, hiding out. Ukraine is one of these. That's why they did the whole, the whole impeachment was an attempt to stop Donald Trump from investigating Ukraine. And that is another one of these sort of, central nexuses of the web of lies, yeah, and tyranny. You know, the Ukrainian, the way they funded the revolution and manipulated them in order to destroy Russia. You had Soros in there. You had John Kerry in there. A lot of stuff was going around there. Coronavirus is sort of the same way, where if we can actually dig down and investigate this, you're right, it'll expose everything. It'll blow up everything, and people will not be able to deny it.
And I think it's a lot more so too, because even the Ukraine, there's a lot of people that in my purview that don't pay much attention to politics. They don't really care about politics. They just want their life to be normal. And things like the Ukraine, as corrupted as it is, I think a lot of these people that are still in defiance of Trump are okay with that, because they'll just assume that's how politics are played. You know, that's how it is. People rub each other's backs, they help each other out, and they're okay with that. But I don't think anyone's going to be okay with people developing a bioweapon and then letting it loose on the entire planet.
And then using that as an excuse to destroy your freedoms and right, inoculate you and mark you like the mark of the beast. I mean, yes, I think people are standing up against this. And it's like, this is how we know that we've got the globalists up against the ropes, right? Because again, they had their plan A. They thought we were just going to go along like blind donkeys and follow them off the cliff. We didn't do that. We rebelled against it. We stood up against it. Now the terms globalist, the terms deep state, these are in regular everyday parlance in a way that they never were 4 years ago. So then they got scared. Now they're trying to do the big push. Now it's the, hey, we're going to come break your legs because we're the mafia and you have to do this. If you stand up to them then, if you stop them from forcing you by violence in that situation, that's the last card they can play. Once they've played that, they got to fold, because we hold all the cards at that point. So I see all this, on one side, you've got the tyranny, you've got the aggression. But what that means is they're up against the ropes and they're flailing and they're desperate. And that is good news for me. So Greg Reese, thank you so much for joining me. The War Room continues with the second hour on the other side.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
The fight for the future is now.
This is The War Room with Owen Schroyer.
Watch the live stream at band.video.
I am Fauci! I am Fauci! I am Fauci! loud and clear. We want an immediate investigation into Bill Gates and Anthony Fauci's connection.
And the CDC.
We demand a full investigation into Bill Gates and Dr. Anthony Fauci. Why do people that work at the Wuhan lab have test kits that they're bound to profit millions off of? Why does Bill Gates have a vaccine for coronavirus that he stands to profit billions off of? Why are these people involved in sending a virus out on the world that they're going to bring in the cure of and make trillions of dollars? How many of you have been to another rally?
To build the constitutional freedoms unique to the history of the world right here in the United States of America. And today, in most of America, those constitutional liberties have been completely suspended for the first time in our history for the most of the American people. What took us 2 centuries to build, we have been told we must forfeit in fear in 2 weeks. For most Americans and for most people around the world, they would choose 77 years of American freedom rather than 78 years of Cuban Soviet-style tyranny. Longer life expectancy and complete loss of quality of life. The very things that make us Americans, that define us as Americans, that make America such a shining light to the world, is precisely what we're being asked to forfeit in this fear panic, this fear porn.
That's Alex Jones at the You Can't Close America rally this Saturday. Find that video, share it on band.video. We return with the headlines and your phone calls on the other side. 1 minute. Hour two of the War Room begins. I'm Harrison Smith, sitting in for Owen Shore. You can follow me on Twitter once again at Harrison the Good. The memes are, you know, they're rolling in. They're hilarious. I'm liking and retweeting them, some of them right now. If you follow me during today's show, I will be following you back. And hopefully I'll be around for, you know, a day or two. Who knows? Who knows how long this will last? But we will rise again. And honestly, I'm floored. I have, I think, something almost like 200 followers in under an hour. I'm floored by the power of this this platform that I have, and the response, and the just shared energy that we and our audience out there has. And I'm honestly humbled to be allowed this platform and to be able to reach out and connect with y'all. It's really a humbling experience, and I thank you so much. And while I'm at it, I went the whole first hour without plugging anything, which is irresponsible of me, because how am I going to have a job if you guys aren't going to InfoWarsStore.com and
paying for all of our salaries, the crew, the hosts, the reporters, all just doing incredible stuff, working nonstop, especially ever since this coronavirus debacle has landed upon us. It's a, you know, now more than ever, we need your help, and you are thankfully providing it. And we really do thank you for going to InfoWarsStore.com. You can take advantage of some of the great sales. A lot of these products are selling out. X2 is back in stock, but is going fast. It's one of the most popular ones. I'm reminded of my sister went and lived in Bolivia for a little while, and she said that the way that their economy worked, well, it kind of didn't work. Like, you'd go into a store and you'd say, do you have Diet Coke? And they'd say, no, we bought Diet Coke once. It sold out too fast. We couldn't keep it on the shelf, so we don't order that anymore. And it's kind of this backwards idea. Well, we're not like that. If it sells out fast, we get more of it. That's the stuff that we like. This is capitalism after all. If you like it, we like it. So X2 is 50% off. Take advantage of that. Sell it out again. I challenge you. Also, another thing that is quickly selling out is there up in the upper right-hand corner of the site. It's the new release. It's the Imrix Essential Hand Sanitizer Combo. That's 50% off. I believe the hand sanitizer itself is also on discount. And that's great stuff. I was walking through the studio today before doing the show, and it's like, I think I must have walked through the place where Alex had shot an ad for the hand sanitizer, because suddenly I'm hit with this wave of lavender. It's just this amazing smell over in the corner of the studio because he'd used the hand sanitizer there. It smells amazing. It's incredible. It's not this alcohol goop. It's a spray bottle. It's very light, and it smells like lavender or there's two other flavors, peppermint and what's the other one? Eucalyptus, I believe. Anyway, they smell great. Hand sanitizer, it's what you need, and it just came out, and it's already selling out. So take advantage of this while you can, and get this amazing product that again, our people working behind the scenes, coming out with great information, coming out with great products. It all goes hand in hand, and we thank you for going to InfoWarsStore.com. Now, I'm going to go through some of the headlines that we discussed in the previous segment with Greg Reese, just to give you some baseline. It's a problem that a lot of people have when you're in this all the time, you just sort of reference things expecting everybody else to know about it because you know about it. And I got to remind myself, okay, I can't just say, oh yeah, you know this thing about the 3.7 million to Wuhan, blah, 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 blah. People are like, wait, what? What's the 3.7? So we'll give you some, we'll lay the groundwork now that we've tread over the ground. This is from Breitbart.com. Giuliani Fauci gave 3.7 million to Wuhan laboratory in 2014. Giuliani said that if he were a U.S. attorney, he would open an investigation to find out what the Obama administration and Dr. Anthony Fauci, as director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, knew about the practices going on in Wuhan when they sent $3.7 million. There's another thing that I think we need to appreciate. And as a fan of history, I tend to consciously and subconsciously think about things in terms of 1,000 years from now. How will this look? What are the corollaries that I can find between modern politicians and ancient politicians? Why and how is Donald Trump like Julius Caesar? You know, this type of thing I like entertaining. Well, you have this guy, this gentleman named Rudy Giuliani. Now, if the enemies of humanity win this global competition that we are now engaged in, if they win, what will his historical epaulette be? What will his eulogy be? What will his position in history be if his enemies win? Rudy Giuliani, he will have been a mayor of New York, right? Yeah, he was there during 9/11, and he's important because of that. The reality is, long before 9/11 and he became America's mayor, he destroyed the mob. He is the one that went into New York City as a prosecutor, and destroyed the mafia organizations there in New York City. Total hero, total historical figure in that respect itself. Now he's leveled up. He's leveled up and he's leveled up and he's leveled up. And now he is, you know, this incredible figure that is now taking on the globalist mafia, right? This is one of the through lines of today's show, is that the way the globalists act is like a mafia. And here you have this figure, Rudy Giuliani, who begins taking out the mafia in New York City. And now he is next to the president of the United States, helping to take down the mafia of globalism that is seeking to keep us enslaved for the rest of time. So we have to win, folks, because Rudy Giuliani deserves his allotted space in history, his revered place in history as this one man army against the forces of corruption and organized crime that he's now taken from New York City to the world at large. So really just incredible, just metaphysically, that this is the reality that we're living in, that this guy Rudy Giuliani, who destroyed the mafia, is now going after what is essentially the mafia of the world. It's incredible. So that's great stuff. Of course, you also have Robert F. Kennedy Jr. It's like the time that we are living in now is of such historical significance that it's like, for that reason alone, we have to win, because we have to tell people this story. We have to relate this epic tale of victory that we are weaving now with our every breath. It's incredible. Bobby Kennedy Jr. dropped a bombshell on the Thomas Paine podcast detailing an apparent agreement between the National Institute of Health and the Bill Gates-backed pharmaceutical company that has the best chance at this point of securing lucrative contracts for a national coronavirus vaccine. That puts your government in bed with Big Pharma and Gates, and could pay as much as 50% of the profits to the NIH, the parent agency that employs Dr. Anthony Fauci, who again is lobbying for the vaccine. And then this article asks, does Fauci get a cut of the bounty as well? So yeah, there you have Rudy Giuliani and Robert F. Kennedy warning about the real, or at least alleged, reason behind wanting to push the vaccine so vehemently. Of course, there are many, many other reasons. The financial ones are just another in there. The real ones are, of course, as you see behind me, serving death, serving Satan, enacting the mark of the beast that was prophesied in Revelations. But it's now becoming mainstream. We've been talking about it since January. Thanks for catching up, everybody out there, the mainstream media. Thank you. Was it 3 months from now's news today? Maybe that should be our official motto. Doesn't roll off the tongue, but it's a good one. It's accurate. Nobel Prize winning scientist claims that coronavirus came from Wuhan laboratory, contains HIV inserts. That's from Big Leagues Politics. And of course, you have Bill Gates defending the communist Chinese government because they love China. They love China. They love what China's been able to do in the control that they exercise over their people, their civilians, just the incredible. I mean, and he's like, they did a lot of great things. What were the great things, Mr. Gates? Was it when they were welding people into their own homes? Was it when they were shooting people on the streets? Was it, you know, what part of it did you like? What part of it do you think we should adopt here? I'd love to hear him enumerate that specifically so we can find out just how demented his sickened brain is. But there you have it. And of course, China puts pressure on the EU to soften the report about COVID-19 disinformation, and they're threatening retaliation, kind of like a mafia of some sort, kind of like a mob, kind of like controlled crime, kind of like, you know, using your physical power to destroy those weaker than you. It's almost like this is typical. It's almost like it's axiomatic, like it's a script that they're all reading from. China warned EU 3 times over the virus propaganda report. And of course, the mainstream media is happy to do their bidding. Here you have this tweet from the BBC Scotland News. They say, quote, China sends Scotland 11 million face masks. Wow, isn't that nice of them? Don't we all love China? Thank you, China. Thank you for the masks. Oh, what this? What's this? What? Oh, they weren't given for free? Oh, you changed the headline? Oh, the headline is now 11 million face masks arrive in Scotland? Because China didn't send them, Scotland bought them from China. But these are the subtle language choices that they make in order to manipulate your subconscious mind into thinking that China is good. They're not good. Spoiler alert, China sucks. We'll be back on the other side with more War Room.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
Good news here in the break. Producer Scott came in and gave me this. Governor Abbott, coronavirus stay-at-home order will expire April 30th. We'll be partially reopening Texas. Announced plans Monday afternoon to reopen businesses in Texas, since according to Abbott, the executive order has done its job to slow the growth of COVID-19. Excellent, excellent news. So that's phase one of the opening will be April 30th. Phase two could begin as early as May 18th. That would expand occupancy to 50%. So opening sort of in a truncated way, where they'll open certain restaurants, they'll open movie theaters, and then slowly but surely we will kick back up the engine of the economy and get back to what we do best, which is dominating everyone. God bless Texas. All right, so that's some good news. Here's some other. Is this good news or is this bad news? It's certainly deserves some attention. Houston pop-up hospital, which cost $17 million, may be dismantled over lack of use, reports say. A makeshift 250-bed medical shelter at NRG Park in Houston that cost millions. Well, it was meant to be a last resort if local hospitals were overwhelmed by the coronavirus. It may be dismantled as early as next week over lack of use, according to a report. Quote, we don't want to get flat-footed, Harris County Judge Lena Hidalgo, who is a witch, and everybody should know about this woman because she's awful. And she was elected with absolutely zero experience, no qualifications whatsoever, strictly as riding the wave of the Beto push that happened here in Texas. She, again, utterly unqualified, absolutely should not be in charge of the biggest county, I think the most populous county in America, I believe. Certainly the biggest one in Texas, the one that houses Harris County, the one that houses Houston. She's just bungled everything up this entire time so far. And you can see sheriffs are like rebuking her and being like, this makes no sense what you're doing. It's like, oh, are you surprised? Are you surprised? Because I'm not, because I know that the people who put her into office weren't voting based on her qualifications. They were voting because she had a D next to her name and because she's an outspoken socialist, Lena Hidalgo. She said before, we don't want to be caught flat-footed. Before construction began, she said, we're working to stay ahead of this. So thank you, Lena. Thank you, Ms. Hidalgo, for spending $17 million on a completely nothing, right? $17 million. I mean, when we talk about the news, we're always using these terms like trillions, billions, $17 million. Just think about how many people that could help. What could you do with $17 million? Can you imagine what I could do with $17 million? It would change the world. Instead, she, you know, paid it to whoever said they would build this hospital. They built it and hasn't seen a single patient. Hasn't seen a single patient. The facility remain unused. Since then, hospitals in the area haven't surged to capacity amid the virus, and daily cases seem to be declining. Who knew? Who knew that was going to happen? Originally reported with a potential price tag of $60 million. It actually will cost around $17 million, and the federal government has agreed to pay 75%. Oh, okay, good. Oh, okay, all right, good. So we're just spreading all of that debt out to everybody else. Excellent. On April 6th, before the deal was finalized, Mayor Houston Sylvester Turner said, "quote We are still within the hospital's ability to handle the load." Yeah, and it's because hospitals are empty, as we saw in the segment at the beginning of this episode of the War Room. The doctors saying. Now the hospitals are empty. They're furloughing people. The normal, regular, everyday hospitals do not have enough patients to maintain their work. So, but, you know, thank you, Lena Hidalgo, for going ahead and wasting millions and millions and millions of dollars, other people's money, on this boondoggle. On the same day, Harris County's Commissioner Court planned to close the $60 million pop-up hospital at NRG Park because it wasn't needed. Lena Hidalgo orders everyone over the age of 10 to wear a mask in public, Patrick said in a statement. Her abuse of the use of executive orders is the ultimate government overreach. These kind of confused government policies fuel public anger, and rightfully so. That was a rebuke of Lena Hidalgo by Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick. Rightfully so. You should have known. If you watched her campaign from before she was elected, you know that she openly said, I'm going to use the power of my office in the government, if I'm elected, to put forward socialism, to indoctrinate children. I mean, this was her platform. It wasn't like, as judge, I will deal with emergencies very well. I'm, you know, very capable at administrating the largest county in Texas. No, it was none of that. It was, if you elect me, I will push socialism. That's literally what her campaign was. Also, I'm a brown woman, so vote for me. How's that working out, you idiots? So there you go. Millions and millions of dollars. And, you know, Houston's not the only place this is happening. This is happening all over the United States where they're just wasting fortunes on propaganda. Okay, right? This was propaganda that told us that our hospitals would be overwhelmed. It was false. It was inaccurate. It was wrong. And yet we are paying the price for it. Here's an interesting headline. Pelosi says the president is asking people to inject Lysol into their lungs. It's like the dishonesty of these people, these crypt keepers. It's like, can't you imagine Nancy Pelosi, like, you shouldn't put foreign objects into yourself. Don't inject things like plastic into you. It's not good for you. You shouldn't have foreign elements in under your skin. Thank you, Nancy Pelosi. Tell that to your doctor next time. And then, of course, the obvious response to this is, you know, don't inject disinfectants. Obviously, that's not even what Trump was suggesting. It's like, obviously, this was stupid. This is not what he was saying. And this is just the appearance that they want to facilitate. But you know what we do by law? You know what's mandated for us to do? Inject things like aluminum phosphate, inject things like formaldehyde, inject things like mercury, and all these other horrible, awful, dangerous, poisonous things that are included in your mandatory vaccines already. So she's not concerned at that. That's fine. Formaldehyde, totally cool. Inject that. Botox, 100%. Pretty much every other day. It looks like she's going to get her face done up. But don't inject Lysol into your lungs. It doesn't even make any sense. You breathe into your lungs. You don't inject things in your lungs. So stupid. Of course, Twitter is now censoring biotech company's UV light treatment after Trump touted it. That story is on Infowars.com by Steve Watson. And, you know, this is typical. This is what they're going to do. They are not, if we go back to the beginning of the program, they're not following the Hippocratic Oath of what is good for the patient, increasing life, helping to help people heal themselves as well as, anything. And, you know, there's another part of the Hippocratic Oath that's like, you know, don't have biases against treatments. You should be willing to try new things. If other things aren't working, that's a part of avoiding that therapeutic nihilism, right? You don't say, it's just hopeless. And you don't say, this is our cure. And if this doesn't work, then screw it. No, you try all these other certain things. Some work, some don't. Well, the people in charge, the global controllers, the globalists at the helm have no interest in attempting to find new and wonderful cures for deadly diseases. No, they're interested in control. And I don't think you can get a patent on UV light. I don't think, Monsanto or Bayer or any of these other pharmaceutical conglomerates can patent the UV light process. Maybe that has something to do with it. Or maybe they're not interested in finding a cure at all because they love the virus.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show. This broadcast contains subject matter that may offend liberal snowflakes. It's the War Room with Owen Schroyer.
Watch the live stream at band.video.
Harrison Smith, I'm sitting in for Owen Schroyer today. Thank you so much for joining me here on the War Room. We got a lot to talk about still. I'm going to go ahead and open up the phone lines right now. The number is 1-877-789-2539. That's 1-877-789-ALEX. We'll be taking your calls on any and all topics. Phone lines are now open. I've also got a lot of videos that I want to play for the remainder of this hour. I think I'll stick on coronavirus maybe for the rest of this hour. And then I've got other news that doesn't have to do with coronavirus. We've got some Joe Biden news. We got some really good news from Europe, as well as some news about Flynn and the deep state coup that is ongoing. Because as coronavirus dominates our news cycle, we have to remind ourselves that there are still very important things going on behind the scenes. Let's talk a little bit about China and just the way that there's two ways of reacting to them. Now, we'll go to clip 8 here. This is Bill Gates defending China. You may have seen this this clip already, but I like to watch it just pay attention to his mannerisms, the tone of his voice, and just try not to turn the TV off because he's a very unlikable person, actually. if you just listen to the guy, he kind of sucks. So here it is, clip 8, Bill Gates defends China.
There is right now in Washington a very different mood, which is to say, far from cooperating with the second largest economy in the world, it is China that is to blame for this virus. You've been following this very carefully. How would you respond to the charge that, look, the Chinese covered this up? They've essentially deceived the rest of the world. And as a result, they should be held in some way responsible for this.
Well, I don't think that's a timely thing.
Well, I don't think that's the time.
Sorry.
How we act today. You know, China did a lot of things right. You know, at the beginning, like any country where a virus first shows up, you know, they can look back and say where they missed some things.
Yeah, let's go ahead and pause right there. Let's go ahead and pause it right there. What did China do? That he approved with. They did a lot of great things, right? They literally welded people into their own homes. They threatened them with arrest or death if they didn't comply with the restrictions. They surveilled their people. They had drones going around sensing people's temperature. They dragged people away in boxes and vans that would just pull up and carry you off. What did they do exactly that you liked, Bill Gates? Because you can't just, oh, they did a lot of things right. What things did they do right that you wish we had done? Because I have a feeling they were totalitarian and, in fact, awful. Sorry, Bill Gates, go ahead. Well, actually, I think that what we, sorry, Bill Gates, please.
There, you know, some countries did respond very quickly and get their testing in place, and they avoided the incredible economic pain. And it's sad that even the U.S., that you would have expected to do this well, did it particularly poorly. But it's not time to talk about that. But this is the time to take the great science we have, the fact that we're in this together, you know, fix testing, treatments, and get that vaccine, and, you know, minimize the trillions of dollars and many things that you can't even dimensionalize in economic terms that are awful about the situation that we're in. So that's a distraction. I think there's a lot of, you know, incorrect and unfair things said, but it's not even time for that
discussion. Not even time for that discussion. It's not time for that discussion. We shouldn't talk about how this is China's fault and how the communism of the Chinese ruling party is what led directly to the outbreak of this, that they covered themselves up to make themselves look good because it's more important to save face for the communist Chinese ruler Xi Jinping than it is to actually deal with real world problems on the ground. In fact, they arrest the doctors that tried to bring this to light, and just a terrifying thing where the doctors disappear for a while. You know, they basically come out and they say, this is dangerous. The Chinese government is not handling this well. Suddenly they disappear for a week and they come out saying they were good. They were excellent. I love the Chinese government. It's creepy what you see. And this is sort of the Chinese model, right? You had a Chinese actress who spoke ill of the Chinese Communist Party. She disappeared for a week or two before Corona. I mean, this was like last year before coronavirus. She just had said something about the Chinese government that they didn't like. She disappeared for a week and then came back and loved the Chinese Communist Party. I mean, this is some 1984 level stuff, and that's why they salivate over China. And if you, again, I point back at that article, the scenarios for the future of technology, that whole thing is filled with love for China. And if you look at all the people that put it together, they're all involved in China. And it's one of these things that where they say, you know, look, it's just a fact that as we move into the future, China is going to grow in power, America is going to shrink, and we're going to enter a bipolar world. They literally treat that as, I can't remember the word they use, but it's like that's a certainty. They call it an absolute certainty that that's going to happen. And it's like, but you're the ones doing this. Why is this a certainty? Why is it a certainty that America should decline? Why did that have to happen? It happened because the people in charge, people who put these white papers together, people like Bill Gates, offshored everything to China, gave America's wealth to China, favored China over America so they can make a couple extra bucks by hiring slaves in that country rather than pay enough for Americans to work here. It had to take a little bit off the top of their own income. They didn't want to do that. They'd rather offshore it to China and have slaves work for them, which is now why the iPhone is delayed a little bit, because all the slaves are sick. Sorry, Apple. Sorry, your slave factories aren't running at full capacity. So I feel so bad for you now. But it's these people that did this. And then they come on and go, look, it's inevitable. This is just the way that it is. I mean, China's growing more powerful. They're going to supersede us. And it's like, because you're doing this, because you offshored everything, because you sell to China, Chinese companies, because you take American companies, bankrupt them, and then sell it to China. That's why this is happening. So it just infuriates me when he's like, oh, this situation that we're in, this horrible economic recession is very dangerous, this situation that we're in. Oh, why are we in it, Bill Gates? Why are we here? Because you and your friends, your compatriots, and your cabal is the one that put us here. And it's just this linguistic trick of just acting like it's inevitable when they're the ones doing it. It's infuriating. God dang. That's them, though. That's China. It's like we see it the same here. USDA let millions of pounds of food rot while food bank demand soared. Quote, the food supply chain is breaking and we're being warned that meat shortages are imminent. What's going to happen when people start starving? What's going to happen when there literally is no more food in the grocery stores and people are desperate? Well, they're going to, wow, you know, this situation that we're in, you know, we're going to have to allot who gets food and who doesn't. You know, it's just this horrible situation that we're in. It's like right now they are putting us in this situation. Tyson's Food, the people in Idaho I was talking about who were forced to destroy tons and tons, literal tons and tons and tons of potatoes, forced to destroy them by the U.S. government. They are the ones putting us in the famine situation. And they're going to come in once the famine hits and say, oh, this is awful. Oh, I'm so sorry. Why don't you give us more power? Why don't you give us more power? Why don't you give us more control to fix this situation that we're in that we all hate so much? It's like you are the ones putting us in this situation at this very moment. They're putting us in this situation. They are paving the road for famine to come driving down. So what's the line? At his heel leashed in like hounds, should famine sword and fire crouch for employment. This is... These are the global leaders that are leading us down this great road. So let's see where should we go next? We only have about a minute left in this segment, so I'm not going to get started on too much else. But just know, folks, just know they're paving the way. That it's all planned. Go read their white papers that I talked about before, and you'll see in clear, plain, black and white. Exactly how they planned this to happen. They planned the response, and it's all in pursuit of more control. All of it is in pursuit of greater control and greater destroying the people that will stand up against their tyranny. And I will show a video that really takes the mask off on the other side of this break. I have a video where they explain exactly what is behind all of this, and not just the coronavirus stuff, on top of all of the anti-white racism and all of the division that they're sowing. It's all about control and destroying the people who are strong enough to stand up for themselves. Phone lines are full. We'll get to your calls on the other side as well.
Infowars.com/show.
All right, we'll go to your calls in just a minute. I want to play a video first, but before I do that, I want to read this article, which is enlightening to say the least, from Breitbart.com. Beto O'Rourke says, Trump's dangerous immigration signaling is being picked up by white nationalist terrorists. Okay. Now, the word terrorism in this context has evolved to mean dissidents, to mean not people who engage in terroristic acts, but people who are interested in standing up for their own race and also happen to be white, right? You can do that if you're another race, not white people. You're a terrorist then. This is what the FBI is now pursuing, and this is the new talking point. This is how they demonize any ideology, any you know, political will that is against them. They claim it's not just white nationalism. Now it's white nationalist terrorism. This is the psychic manipulation that they are engaged in. Host Joy Reid says, we've reported that Stephen Miller sees this crisis as an opportunity to install his long-term vision of shutting down much of non-white immigration. It's like, this is the irony of it, is that you can just say things that are good for the American people, for every American, regardless of color. And they have to extrapolate some sort of racism out of that. And they have to see signals and they have to see dog whistles, right? What's the characteristic of a dog whistle? You can't hear it. It's not actually there, right? It's something they create in their own mind and superimpose on top of sensible, logical America first positions, like not having an endless wave of immigrants constantly when we have an economy that's faltering, et cetera, et cetera. But that was Joy Reid. I won't even talk about her. Beto O'Rourke said, "You're absolutely right about this being part and parcel of a much larger trend and much more encompassing effort on the part of the Trump administration to stop non-white immigration into the United States. We know from the leaked phone call transcript that this is not just a 60-day order, as we had led to believe by the president. This is part of a long-term plan to stop immigration." Well, thank God. Thank goodness. I mean, that's what we want. So, okay, good. He also says, at a time of increasing food insecurity, nearly 80% of the people working in the fields, those when our restaurants reopened working in the kitchens, were born in another country. Who is going to be our field slaves if we don't have an endless supply of immigration? Asks Beto O'Rourke. Gee, I don't know. But, you know, this whole the racism aspect of it is a tool they use. It's a wedge they use. It's something that people on our side, for the most part, literally don't care about, except that we are being targeted for our race and are being, you know, our race is brought into it by them bringing it up and actually celebrating, you know, the low birth rates of white people or whatever it is. It's awful. It's sickening. It should be sickening for everybody, regardless of your race, to see people advocate for the destruction of an entire class of people because of characteristics that they had no control over. It's sickening, but that's where we are. But I've always pointed out that it's not just because they have a, you know, the term racism, it's intrinsically illogical, right? Because it doesn't make any sense to judge people on things that they can't control. It's an obvious sort of axiom. But the real reason, in my opinion, that they are so obsessed with targeting and trying to destroy white people is because Europe is the Christian continent, right? It was the Middle East for a long time, for hundreds of years. The Middle East was a thriving and prosperous Christian civilization until the Muslims came in and destroyed it. So ever since that invasion, the heart of Christianity has been the European people. And it's through not just Christianity, but again, as we relate back to the Hippocratic Oath, this long, millennia long heritage of personal freedom, of individual liberty that really, you know, sort of got a lot of its start in ancient Greece that we've adopted and woven into the fabric of the Western civilization, whatever you want to call it. Christendom is a great name for it. And that's the reason that they don't like it, right? They are fine with white people if you bow, if you serve them, if you kowtow, right? They love Nancy Pelosi and Joe Biden and all these people. They love them because they love the control. They love the totalitarianism. That's fine. It's about ideology at its basis. They just performed a sort of alchemy that says white people are bad when really it's the people that love freedom are bad. And they're using this crossover in order to manipulate minds. This is all just a long preamble to this clip here. This is clip 14. This is a doctor explaining exactly why we need to get rid of white people.
The battle is being fought one family, one physician, one health center. That's why we're doing as well as we are. We're talking about the minority and strategies against the minority. So I have the solution. Every study published in the last 5 years, when you look at vaccine refusers, I'm not talking about, well, hesitants, most of them we can talk into coming to terms, but refusers. We'll just get rid of all the whites in the United States because Houston is the most diverse city in the entire United States. There are 7 Asian languages spoken in that city. I've been a minority for more than 20 years in the city of Houston. The majority is, we call Hispanic. That is not a race or an ethnicity. That is a political designation. But a lot of them are from Central, South America, Mexico. Guess who wants to get vaccinated the most? Immigrants.
Yeah. Yeah, that's masks off, ladies and gentlemen. That is the underlying decrepitude revealed. It's clear, plain, it's obvious, right? It's like, we got to get rid of white people because white people won't submit. Yeah, look at the numbers. They're not submitting. We got to get rid of them. Immigrants love to submit. That's what they're saying. That's what she's saying. And she has this weird, again, it's like this weird, like, well, Hispanic's not really a race. It's a racial, it's like this racial mindset that they're in. They think, you know, dictates everything. And then look at like voting records. The only people that vote for conservatism are white people in America. So, of course, they're trying to get rid of those people that care about freedom and love freedom. And of course, people of all races care about these things. But if you look at it statistically, and they're trying to eliminate the people that are causing them trouble, it's no wonder we see so much anti-white hysteria on the media and in the news everywhere. Again, they're fine. That lady was white, right? She's one of their priestesses. She's one of their leaders. She hates white people probably more than just about anybody else. She literally said, let's just get rid of white people if we want to increase vaccination, which is what they want, right? So it's like, okay, that is what you want. This is the way that you're going towards it, and you're celebrating the destruction, the elimination, the destruction of white people in America. It's all quite obvious, is it not? And I have another video that's somewhat similar. I'll go ahead and play that now. Let's go ahead and play clip 15. This is old what's-her-face, Stacey Abrams. Stacey Abrams, what do you think about white people?
And the third thing is that we have to do this every day. This is not an election year issue. 2014 is critical, but 2015 is also really important. And 2016 and 2017, 2018, because my focus is on 2021. I know Representative Fudge said we can't look past 2014. I'm focusing here, but my eye is on 2021, because when we do redistricting in 2021, if we have not changed the electorate, especially in the South, we will have a majority-minority population that is governed by a minority-white conservative coalition. And that's the most dangerous precedent that we could possibly set for the South in the next 20 years.
All right. Let me give you a little translation of what she just said. What she just said was we need to plan our redistricting efforts in order to eliminate white people's ability to have electoral representation. That's what she meant. That's what she was saying. And again, it's like you just have to listen to their words, and they say these things like minority majority. We're going to have a minority majority that's going to be the majority of the minority. And so, of course, we need minorities in the majority so that the majority isn't a minority. It's like, what are you talking about? How can something be a minority and also a majority? You're using wizardly tricks in order to obscure the reality, which is you're trying to eliminate the electoral capability of white people, and you're doing it through demographics, and you're doing it through redistricting. And again, you go back in time, you go look at, you know, back in Jim Crow era, they would redistrict in order to split up black communities to eliminate their ability to get people elected. Was that bad? Yes, it was. Am I against that? Yes, I am. Now the same thing is being done openly, just with the races switched. How about you have some intellectual consistency and you say if it was bad then, it's bad now. And these little race-based machinations that you're involved in are evil and must be stopped. It's as simple as that. So it's just, it's masks off. They're just going all in. That clip was from 2014. You don't think they've made some major strides in the last 6 years? You don't think they've been involved behind the scenes for 6 years, manipulating things, changing things, demographically altering the composition of neighborhoods in order to maximize electoral power? This is what they've been involved in for decades. It's all coming to a head. It's all coming exposed. It's evil at its basis. It's racist at its basis. We're the only ones standing up against it, and we're called racist. Welcome to reality.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
The fight for the future is now.
This is The War Room with Owen Schroyer.
Watch the live stream at band.video.
All right, we'll be going out to your phone calls momentarily. I just wanted to say during the break, I noticed this still image of Stacey Abrams. She was attending this. That little speech that you heard in the last segment was a part of a presentation for Power Pack Plus's Race Will Win the Race conference. Race will win the race. And you're telling me these people aren't the racists. Okay. Sure. All right, let's go out to some of these phone lines. Thanks for holding, guys. Cowboy in Oregon wants to call in. Thanks for calling in, Cowboy. Trump in the next election. What you got for me?
Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
I want to bring out, this is a message to David Knight especially. a message to David Knight, Alex Jones, and the American people. For the American people and David Knight getting upset and frustrated with Donald Trump, and he's not doing anything. Well, this is what I got told, and this is what I believe. In the second term of President Trump, you will see him start taking out the trash. It will get good nasty. It will get nasty, the good type of nasty way, where you will see Fauci, Obama, and the rest of them fall. It's just like a domino effect. When one falls, the rest fall. And that's when he'll do it in the second term.
You think in the second term, you think he's laying the groundwork for it? It's a tantalizing fantasy. What makes you think that's going to be the case?
What makes me think the case is the first term, you can't really do much of what you want without upsetting a lot of people, like the American people and the leftists and all them. So he's just doing the easy steps in his first term. And then when the second term comes up, and that's when you'll see the real things happening.
Yeah, you know what? I think you're right. And not just because it's a comforting fantasy to have, but because of the way that I know Donald Trump works from reading his books, from studying him, you know, quite closely for the last couple of years, and just recognizing his pattern of behavior from all the way back when he was building buildings. And I've talked about this before. When you're building a skyscraper, right, when you're building this just massive engineering project with, you know, all the different moving parts you have to bring together and all the different government offices you have to get approval from, blah, 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 you don't do things quickly. It's all slow. It's all planned out. It's all, we're going to do this for a year, and then we're going to go into phase two, and then we're going to go into phase three 5 years from now. It's all multi-year, sometimes multi-decade planning to do some of these incredibly large projects. Well, the project he is embarked upon now is world peace. The project he's embarking upon now is bringing down the globalist power structure and returning power to the will of the American people. That's the biggest project he's ever been involved in. So you better believe he's got long-term plans that he's enacting. He's working behind the scenes to lay the groundwork, to, I guess, figuratively lay the foundation, if you will, of what is to come. So I definitely think we're going to see a lot more action in the second term of President Donald Trump. And I believe that he, you know, but part of his calculations is, in order to bring about my plans, in order to, you know, bring about this revolution, I got to get elected again. So I can't do too much this time because I got to get elected a second time. That's just part of the calculus that he's constantly engaged in. So I think you're right. And I hope you're right. And of course, I'll be voting for Donald Trump. And you know what's the other option? Joe Biden? Yeah, we'll get into him a little bit later in the episode. Let's go to Dennis in Virginia. You got a minute, Dennis? What you got?
Hey, Harrison.
Hello.
I'm calling from the Commonwealth of Virginia. It used to be the Commonwealth, but it's Commonwealth. They want to take a year to open the state up, and they are so crazy here that they, in the county I lived in, they've removed all the picnic tables from all the parks mm-hmm. and ball fields. And they even took away the trash cans. Do they think trash cans are going to draw us in like rats and we'll violate social distancing? I mean, it's nuts.
It is. It's absolutely nuts. What's happened to Virginia is it's a crime. It's criminal what they've done to Virginia. One of the first states of the Union, one of the main primary states of the Union, the birthplace of Thomas Jefferson, birthplace of modern freedom, has just been overtaken by these dictators. I should do a whole thing on Virginia and how they've just completely ignored the rally and the protests and are enacting gun control and all this other disgusting stuff. Pray for Virginia. God bless them. More War Room, more of your calls on the other side. All right, I'm going to go right out to your phone calls. We've got a lot of people who called in and are holding, and let's clear these lines. Let's see what you have to say. Bart in Georgia. I love that, you know, the crew, when you call in, they'll ask you what you want to talk about, and they always give me a little note so I know what's coming up. And I love this. I love what he wants to talk about. It just says, CNN viewers thinks Bill Gates is a doctor. it's just that by itself. It's like, that's hilarious because it's true. And it's like, you have to be reminded, like, this guy has no qualifications for what he's talking about. He's literally just a rich boy that got lucky in timing and, position, and was really just a brutal entrepreneur and a brutal capitalist in order to become the most rich person in the world. And now, there you go. The headline from Politico: meet the world's most powerful doctor. He's not a doctor. Okay, sorry. Bart in Georgia, thanks for calling in. What you want to talk about?
Yeah, before I tell you guys how stupid CNN viewers are, I want you to go to my General Shepherd channel operated by Bart Fine and subscribe to it. Now, anyone dumb enough to watch CNN must actually think Bill Gates is a doctor. But we need to have a protest at 101 International Boulevard 24 hours a day. Go and blow your horn in front of CNN at 24 hours a day, 101 International Boulevard. Anyone within range of CNN, go down there and say whatever you want to say, 24/7.
You mean there in New York City, the Time Warner Center?
No, Atlanta, Georgia, where it started. Okay. I'm sorry, I forgot. You may not have remembered that.
You're a local man there in Georgia.
Yeah, I'm ashamed that CNN is here in my hometown. I want to shut them down.
Yeah.
Shut them down, and Alex did come here and bullhorn them. I'm here waiting for orders, so here we are.
Well, you know, it is shocking when you actually, you know, feel like punishing yourself and tune in to these globalist mouthpieces. I mean, it's you just watch it, you go, who is buying this? Who is watching this and thinking it's real? Apparently, millions of people. It's kind of depressing. It's kind of like, what? The people in my country actually can watch this and not see it for the propaganda that it is? It is a little bit like, Jesus, you know, what situation have we gotten ourselves in here? It's it is. Yeah, you're exactly right. There should be protests. There should be people, you know, behind their reporters whenever they go live holding signs up, say Bill Gates is not a doctor. I've never given up my rights to Bill Gates to do with as he pleases. It's a very good point. Anything else before I let you go, Bart?
Yeah, I just finished my living defense program for the month, and I'm now parasite free. Thank you, InfoWars.
Thank you so much for supporting everything we do here. And of course, General Shepard is like us, you know, is another one of these rebellion factions that's constantly being hunted by the Death Star. And every once in a while, they will score a lucky hit and eliminate General Shepard. And yet he pops up again. You can't keep a good man down. And he does great work uploading a lot of our stuff. And of course, everybody and anybody is welcome to take everything that we do and put it out for yourself. Do it. Monetize it. We don't care. We want the information to get out there. That's how we win. We don't win by proprietary means. We don't win by copyright striking people. We win when the people out there, like General Shepard, do their part and help to spread the word. So thanks so much for the call, Bart, in Georgia. And I don't hold it against you, the CNN thing. Trust me, we got enough kooks here in Texas that it's shameful here, too. All right. Dennis in Kentucky, modern socialism. Let us know how that feels, Dennis.
Well, it's not knowing how it feels. It was how ignorant the American people were and electing the officials they had that was available to them at the time without doing their due diligence that put people in the position to support. And what you see now is modern socialism. They are appraising China and defaming America. I'm a black man. That is repugnant. That is just sickening.
You know, I totally agree. And I was thinking about this earlier, especially when we were watching that clip of the protest, and Robert Barnes came out and he said, America is a shining light to the world. And this is one of the things that it's honestly just kind of sad that you have all these people who think that they're all for liberty. They think that, you know, they are the ones out there, you know, fighting for the little guy. In reality, if that was the case, if they really wanted to fulfill their ideology and be a champion for freedom and rights and human rights and liberation of women and children and minorities, if they were actually in favor of that, they would be like diehard patriots. They would love America. We are the greatest force for freedom and for individuality and for, breaking of chains the world has ever seen. And yet these people hate America and yet profess to love these things. It's like upsetting. We could have this incredible, you know, group of people as powerful warriors for America, fighting for real freedom, real, you know, individuality, real equality under the law, that sort of thing. But instead they're fighting against the greatest force that has brought about these things. It's infuriating. So I know exactly what you mean, Dennis.
But you have to understand, what choice do you have when you've been blackmailed because you are a pedophile?
Mm.
what choice do you have when you've been blackmailed because you're a politician,
yep,
or a lawyer or an actor or a basketball player or a football player? Look at everything that's happening. Look at everything. Put it all in the grand scheme of things. You think that someone of a Bill Gates is not going to try to cash in? Are you serious?
Mm-hmm. And it goes back.
Everybody looks at Bill Gates in certain areas. Bill Gates had a whole bunch of people sterilized in Africa.
Oh, yeah.
Under the same act. And everybody don't want to remember that. Go scrub that before it get taken down. I love y'all. Thank you for the Patriot Seas, my air purifier, my water purifier, the Pro Pure King.
Yes, sir.
Oh, my God. I'm telling you. Listen to me. Go get that. It was a dude. It was a president of Africa said that they were not going to be guinea pigs of Bill Gates. I kid you not.
Yep.
Sterilized a whole bunch of little women.
Yeah.
Little girls. Just saying it. So, America, you're funding communist China and what it is and will always be the evil intent, or what Ronald Reagan said, the evil empire. The same thing that JFK said, a hidden enemy. What is Trump saying? A hidden enemy. Stop being so naive. Wake up, please.
Man, powerful words from Denison, Kentucky, who's living the good life with his pure air and his pure water from the InfoWars store purifiers there. It's when you actually stop and think about this, you actually have the knowledge that our listeners have. It's obvious what is going on. And it all suddenly starts to connect. All these, you know, various embodiments of this evil start to reveal themselves as just different aspects of the same, different faces of the same shape, right? So you talk about blackmail, and of course you're going to go with socialism if you're being blackmailed to go with socialism. Well, again, we go back to The Godfather. We go back to the mafia, right? Godfather 2, right? They tricked that senator into thinking he killed a hooker, so he's going to go along with them. This is blackmail. This is what they do. In addition to that, of course, these people, you know, the people who are going along with this, who are feeding into the system, are the biggest beneficiaries of the system. And this ties into socialism and communism at its core, right? They're not going to tell everybody there's a plague going on because that looks good. That looks bad, you know, to their communist system, to the power structure. They have to uphold that above all else. Well, that's the same thing when you are in a position where you are benefiting massively from this system. If you're a basketball player, if you're a billionaire, you know, you live an amazing life. You have just privileges and experiences that the system provides you that are incredible. And your whole livelihood, your career, your everything is based in the system. So you're going to uphold that system at all costs. Because if the system goes down, you lose all that stuff. If you go against the system can take all that stuff away from you. So you have to serve the system in order to be served by the system. And so it's a self-fulfilling kind of the only word I can think of is a naughty one, so I won't say it. But it's a circle of people all pleasuring each other. This is what the modern world is, I suppose. I can say, folks, please go to InfoWarsStore.com. You can hear every one of our callers. We don't ask them. When we screen the calls, we're never like, oh, and make sure to mention a product. Like, people just love the products. What are we supposed to do? They love the products and they love telling us about it. We love that they're buying them. We love our products as well. We use them in our homes. We use them in our bodies. And we encourage everybody else to do so as well. And when you do, you help spread the word. You help get this information out there. You help wage the war against globalism.
The War Room. InfoWars.com/show.
All right, we're going to go back out to your phone calls, but very quickly, I'm going to try to get through some of these last coronavirus headlines so I can get into Joe Biden, some of the occurrences going on in Europe, as well as some other political news that is important. So we'll try to get this the rest of this coronavirus news out of the way. And this is just, again, it's just the best example of what we've been talking about this whole time. You have Mayor Bill de Blasio putting out this long statement through a series of tweets. And he says, I'm launching the City Task Force on Racial Inclusion and Equity, focusing on confronting health disparities, specific needs in communities of color, and breaking down structural racism. I want that mission baked into every aspect of our restart and recovery. Maybe it surprises you, maybe it doesn't, that who will be leading this task force but the mayor's wife, the First Lady of New York City, and Deputy Mayor Phil Thompson. We'll be naming leaders from across the administration representing the diversity of this city. Just literally, translation, non-white people. Okay, great. They will help us focus on the bigger structural changes we need to make going forward. So in case you were still maybe unsure that this crisis was going to be used to put forward the political will of those that wish to dominate you, there it is in plain black and white. It's literally just like, you know, does this have anything to do with coronavirus? No, it doesn't. It's taking advantage of a crisis in order to bring about, quote, structural changes in the entire society. And they say, he says, I want that mission baked into every aspect of our restart and recovery. I'd love if some sort of media personality who's interviewing Bill de Blasio would ask the simple question, why? What does this have to do with fighting coronavirus? Why are you injecting your identity politics into what is supposedly a, you know, world-ending crisis that we're trying to take serious measures to fix? Why are you obscuring things? Why are you muddying the waters? Why are you taking advantage of this to put forward your own ideology, your own political position, and also your own wife and family and getting them more jobs? Is it just basic corruption? Just why? Why are you doing this, my man? And of course, I mean, it's just, they just are hammering in this. Literally whole cloth. All of America is suffering from this. All of America is affected by this. Everyone in America, regardless of your race, color, or creed, are under the same draconian rules that everybody else is under. But they can't let that be. They have to try to inject racism into it. So they ask these ridiculous questions, like MSN.com says, for black folks, it's like a setup. Are you trying to kill us? Are you what you're you want to go back to work? You want to do things? You want to, cut out this ineffective and unnecessary destruction of the economy of the United States? Well, you're probably racist and want black people to die. Where's the logic behind it? There is none. Right. There's no connection. There's no nothing. It's injection of racism strictly for, their own racist aims. It's as simple as that. Reuters says the next wave of U.S. states set to reopen as coronavirus pushes jobless rate to 16%. Correction, it's not the coronavirus that did that. It was our reaction to the coronavirus that did that. It was dictates from the government that has brought about this incredibly high rate of joblessness. But the good news is that some states are starting to reopen. We just heard that Texas will be reopening at the end of this month already. He's saying that you will not be punished for disobeying mask laws. So good. Thank you. Thank you, government, for just letting us have our basic human rights and not actively destroying everything we've built so far. That I guess that's the most we can hope for now, right? Just stop destroying us is where we're at. But here's the other thing. You got this unemployment rate at 16%, incredibly high. You have CNBC asking, making sense of a stock market just 16% off its high while a pandemic costing 26 million jobs. Isn't it interesting? Isn't it wondrous that we are able to have 26 million jobs disappear in under 3 months and yet the stock market barely reacts? Is it maybe that all of these structural systems are predicated on BS, are nothing, are representative of nothing more than the will of the shadow governments that control these conglomerations? Is that maybe the reality that the stock market doesn't represent actual, generative energy, but is in reality a giant manipulation by those that would turn it to their own desires? Maybe. Of course, 16%. Interesting that both of those numbers are 16%. And I love this. TheAtlantic.com. Why Mitch McConnell wants states to go bankrupt. It's just you. I pity these people. I pity the liberals that believe this. That go, people like Mitch McConnell want states to go bankrupt. They want it. They desire it. They apparently just, hate everything that is good and want to destroy it all. I pity people that actually see the world in that black and white of a, white and black inverted colors, right? Of course, you have the San Diego woman facing arrest and possible charges for organizing the Freedom Rally. And her lawyer says that they are violating her constitutional rights. Which ones, though? Which ones are they violating when they prevent you from petitioning the government for change? Which amendment is this? Oh, right, the first. The First Amendment has five freedoms: the freedom of speech, the freedom of press, the freedom to assemble. That's the big one. That's the one they're violating right now. The freedom to petition the government, and one other that I'm blanking on, but I don't have time to look up. And then it's not just in America. German protests are also sprouting up in various different countries. Quote, I want my life back. German protest against lockdown. And the video, the picture there in the article is a man laying on the ground with two police struggling to restrain him. You have to stay inside. You must remain inside. You are a carrier of a virus. You are guilty by your existence. Stay inside, citizen. It's disgusting. But here's the thing. In the white paper that we've been talking about this whole time, where the lockstep, the scenarios for the future and technological development, they say in there, they say the draconian measures of the government that were taken to combat this fictional coronavirus that we totally didn't plan but actually are dictating exactly how it happens 10 years previous. They say these measures, After the sickness went away, these measures increased and intensified. This is the prediction that they're making, right? This is the plan they've laid out for us, if you care to look. And now we're seeing this come to fruition. Wow, are they prophets? No, they are pulling the strings. Concerts will never be the same after COVID-19. Here's what you could wear to bring them back. And it's like a literal spacesuit. Internet speech will never go back to normal, right? They're just telling you all of these draconian changes, all of the censorship that we're doing, we're going to do it forever. Coronavirus, people tracking wristbands tested to enforce lockdown. So no need to wait until they tattoo you and inject you with a tracing node, a la the Mark of Beast. They're just going to put a wristband on you to track you. Lawmakers warn coronavirus contact tracing is ripe for abusive surveillance. You don't say. You know, color me surprised. But then you have The Guardian saying surveillance is a price to pay to beat coronavirus. It's a price worth paying to beat coronavirus, says Blair think tank. So it's like, literally, it's just like, oh, we got to put in these draconian things. Oh, we're going to spy on you all the time. Oh, we're going to have to do this forever, even when coronavirus goes away. Oh, but it's worth it. Oh, but it's a good thing. Oh, but you have to, because we say you have to. People are getting sick of it. We're seeing through the lies. Humanity's waking up. We're taking back our freedoms, and you can try all you want to stop us. It's only going to prolong your pain, dear globalist. Just give up now. Stop your domination of the world. We can all walk away from this peacefully.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
Is under attack. This is the War Room.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We're in the last half hour of the program. I'm reading through some of these articles that I have in front of me. Very interesting. it's just absurd. This is from Breaking Defense. Israel seeks early release of U.S. defense funding. Israel's Ministry of Defense and High Command have hammered out an emergency plan for an appeal to Washington to make changes to the Foreign Military Funds Agreement between the U.S. and Israel. The situation created by the pandemic is having a huge effect on the IDF. New multi-year plans to spend between 4 and 10 billion shekels in addition funding each year to make the Army, Air Force, and Navy more capable. They say... Sources here say that COVID-19 pandemic is forcing Israel to ask Washington to change major changes to make major changes to the agreement, including a request to receive the annual allocation $3.8 billion earlier than planned. It's like I know you give us $3.8 billion. I know everybody around the world is being just absolutely crippled by this pandemic. We need more. And we need it faster. It's like, well, what? What? Well, but don't worry, they say. They say in an election year in the U.S., more contracts with the American industry is good for the White House, the source said, especially as the U.S. economy faces recovery from the pandemic. See, this is the cup trick that they play, right? It's they say, well, all the money that goes to Israel, it actually they have to spend it with American contractors, with, you know, weapons manufacturers here in America. So actually, it's benefiting America. Wouldn't it benefit us a little bit more if we just took out that whole send it to Israel first and we can just keep the money and spend the money here for ourselves? It's like we don't need to give somebody else money to pay us for something that we then give them. We are not benefiting from that. We are just giving them stuff rather than the cash. It's obvious, but this from IsraelPalestineNews.org. Israel may ask to double its usual $3.8 billion from the U.S. this year. So, you know, we're all struggling. Of course, Israel's caught, stealing masks from America. It's just like, why are we sending them money again? Can somebody remind me why we're doing this and why now in the midst of an epic pandemic that's destroying the world that they want to double the amount that they're receiving? Doesn't make a lot of sense to me. I don't know. Maybe I'm just missing something here. All right, let's go back out to the calls. John in Canada. Canada has ignored U.S. intel on China. I'm not surprised. They're basically they are basically being colonized by China right now. Canada has. So I'm sorry for you there in Canada, John, but you're on the air. Well, what you got?
Yeah, we're literally on the wrong side of the Berlin Wall up here.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so what came out in news, and it's surprising that our state media actually allowed this story out, but they haven't really revisited it. And anywhere else, like in any other country, it would probably lead to the immediate resignation of the person in power. But we were warned by the U.S. State Department, as well as our own MedInt, so medical intelligence, about what was going to happen with COVID-19 or the Wuhan flu or whatever it was at that point. And our government actually decided to ignore the medical intelligence and U.S. State Department, U.S. intelligence, so Five Eyes intelligence as well. And we decided to go with the WHO.
Mm.
So we pretty much sworn fealty to the WHO. And it's really horrible from this side of the divide, north side of the states, to watch all of these freedom-loving American states moving, at least in a lot of cases, not everywhere, but towards getting your economies going. And even where I'm calling from, our supposed conservative premier has decided to put the chief medical officer in charge, and the economy will only open when he says it will.
Mm.
And he's a holdover over from a previous liberal government. And it just seems that our government is marching us toward China and away from our greatest ally, which is the United States of America.
Yeah, it's a dangerous trajectory that Canada is now on. And even just looking to just Chinese people buying properties in China, I mean, they're literally buying the land out from underneath you and eliminating Native Americans' ability to make their way up in the world. It's sickening. We could honestly spend a whole show just on what's happening in Canada because it is so fascinating. The more you look into it, the more troublesome it seems. But I got to get some more of these calls in. Thanks so much for the call, John, in Canada. It's you're fighting the good fight, and you're on the wrong side of the wall, but that's where you're needed the most, I think. So thank you so much. Let's go to Frank in North Carolina, wants to talk about Texas reopening. Thanks for calling in, Frank. You're on the air.
Hey, thanks, Harrison. Just to echo that gentleman from Canada's point, I don't think it's China that they're the premier, the Canadian prime minister is bowing to. I think it's the New World Order, and it's
right.
They're getting all of our leaders to bow to them, and or in this case, the new the WHO.
Mm-hmm.
But it's all being run like it's a one world government, and you got Trump who's kind of fighting it, or you know, more populist. So they're hurting us bad with the coronavirus, and then you got like Boris Johnson over there in England, same thing. And who ends up getting the coronavirus? He does.
Mm.
So anybody populist, they're going to attack. But yes, as far as Texas reopening, red states need to reopen and prove that hey, this we can do this. And it's going to be interesting to see what happens, what the backlash is from these tyrants like Bill Gates and Fauci, what happens after these states like Georgia, Florida, Texas begin to reopen, because you know they're going to have some kind of comeback.
Yeah, and really the danger is that, you know, in order to make it appear as though it was a bad idea to reopen, we may see an increase in cases, perhaps artificially boosted to say, oh, see, they reopened and now everybody's sick down there. And it's like, well, really, you just changed the parameters of who you're counting as sick, you know, that type of thing. So, yes, now is the time to be on the lookout for these sort of false flag operations in order to undermine the ability of other states to reopen. So hopefully it goes well. Hopefully everybody can look and say, hey, Texas and Florida, they opened and everything's going great. Why can't we open as well? Hopefully we can be that example, but we're also opening ourselves up to manipulation by providing them an example that they can sort of manipulate. So very good point. Thank you. And, you know, hopefully North Carolina can follow suit very soon. Let's go to Chris in Kentucky. Let's talk about respirators and death increasing. Thanks for calling in, Chris. You're on the air.
Hey, thank you, Harrison, very much. And thank you, Dennis, hearing from a Kentucky caller.
Yeah.
I want to talk about these respirators. You can't put up. My sister used to be a nurse, and she told me that you cannot keep them on there a long period of time because it could be fatal. These people don't get it. I think this is being done by design. Every report I look at here in Louisville, where I live, with the mayor up there, our state governor dictator is what I call him, because they're always changing the deaths every 24 hours. Oh, we have a higher number. They jump these numbers up and up. What are they actually dying of? We don't know. This is what they're not telling us. This is a hype to give us in control. Now, we're supposed to be open this end of the week. Now, they're saying, well, we have to only open health care places. Then we're going to take little steps. So what they're going to do, so if something goes wrong, you know what they're going to do? They're going to get out there like Joseph Goebbels and propaganda. Well, we got to close another 2 weeks. And they're going to condition us to be more isolated. This is the whole idea. They want us anti-human. They're trying to get control on us. The New World Order is not going to win. We've got to take a stand, Harrison. I'm just at a boiling point.
Yeah, I mean, I'm right there with you. It's infuriating, and just seeing the way they are trying to train us like dogs, right? It's like, and you're exactly right. How, you know, it's about the psychological manipulation of dangling the treat out in front of you and then slapping you on the nose when you go for it, just to confuse you, right? It's like, oh, we're about to open. No, you're shut down again. And it's like this submission ceremony, this submission ritual that they're enforcing on us. I'll say, earlier today, I admit I went to a grocery store to get lunch, a little sushi counter there in the grocery store, and I had to stand outside for about 2 minutes on about 6 feet from the guy in front of me, and I just felt like a slave. I felt like a dog. I just felt inhuman, like you're saying. I felt like a robot. Just it was humiliating, right? And that's what they do. They humiliate you in order to destroy your humanity, in order to take advantage of you. And that's exactly what we're seeing. It's time to put an end to it. We're doing our best.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
All right, folks, no time to waste. We're in the last segment of the War Room, and I still have much to get to and some phone calls. So let me just tear through some of these headlines. 1993 CNN clip of Biden's accuser's mother calling Larry King vanishes from the Google Play catalog. You can no longer find that episode of the program. Very interesting. Obvious manipulation by the media. Again, mask off. They're just coming out full bore. It also lends quite a bit of credence to Tara Reid's accusations that CNN is so desperately trying to destroy any evidence of it, put it down the memory hole, doing their job as a good little socialist that they are. Pentagon officially releases videos of unidentified flying objects. Folks, this could be laying the groundwork, could be sowing the seeds for the maneuver after the coronavirus, right? If they don't get the total control that they seek from coronavirus, if once again we foil their plans, don't think for a second that they're going to stop. They're going to come back stronger. Right now they're laying the groundwork for it's an alien invasion. Now we have to come together under a one world government. They will not stop. They will keep going. They will keep upping the ante. You can bet your money on that. So they're coming out with UFO videos now in order to lay the groundwork for that. Here is the good news. You've waited this long. You've stayed through the whole show. I'm going to reward you with some of the best news I've heard in a very long time. Cops smash an alleged human trafficking ring selling babies to Chinese businessmen. Cops have smashed an alleged human trafficking ring that is accused of selling babies to a network of mysterious Chinese businessmen for $40,000 a pop. Detectives from the Ukraine's FBI raided a private reproductive clinic in Kiev after a tip-off that 140 tots had been sold abroad. Sickening, sickening stuff. Literally a clinic where they breed children to be sold. Absolutely disgusting. But again, why are all of these things interconnected? Why is it Ukraine? Why is it China? What is going on behind the scenes? Are these things being figured out? What has been behind the increase in arrests of these types of places, the destruction of these types of places since Donald Trump got into the presidency? Well, we have removed their protections. We are uncovering the sordid underbelly of the New World Order. And it's a glorious thing that these evil people, I mean, I can't think of anything more evil than what I just read to you, this clinic that breeds babies to be sold. And they're being undone. They're being destroyed. The will of God is superimposing itself on the fallen world. Another good news, United Kingdom to ban genders reassignment surgery for minors. That's from the National File. United Kingdom government is set to outlaw gender reassignments or confirmation surgeries for minors as part of reforming Gender Recognition Act set to take place this summer. So it's like, you know, this is a victory in today's world, right? In today's world, it is a shocking victory that it's actually illegal to sexually mutilate children. It's like, they're just not castrating children. Oh, it's a cause for celebration. It's like, this is how fallen we've become. But the tide is changing, right? The tide is turning. The waves are still crashing, but slowly but surely that monumental shift is happening under the surface. And it's very uplifting to see. As well as this, the Czech Republic put up signs about the 1989 Tiananmen Square massacre for their Chinese tourists. This was from Jack Posobiec tweeted this out. You can see the Chinese tourists reading these signs that the government of China is going to, would destroy anybody for spreading this information in China. Well, now if you come to the Czech Republic, you're going to see these signs. I have a sneaking suspicion that the Czech Republic will suddenly be devoid of Chinese tourists, if I had to guess. In Hungary, compared to the same period last year, in the first 2 months of 2020, twice as many marriages were concluded. 8.8% more children were born. Fertility rate has increased by 8.4%. And the number of abortions has dropped by more than a third. That's in 1 year. That's 1 year of putting their country first, of nationalism, of positive reinforcement of beneficial aspects of the community, such as family and marriage. And you can see the dramatic effects that it has. This is what happens when you take the chains off of humanity. We rebound back stronger and better than ever before. And so yet another fantastic, uplifting story there from Hungary. Absolutely amazing. And then this, once again, I have a new Twitter account, Harrison the Good, at Harrison the Good. I was sent this by a gentleman named Early Watch ID from Idaho, and this is fantastic. This was the ruling of the United States Supreme Court shortly after the Civil War in Ex parte Milligan 71 U.S. 2 1866, which yet stands to this day, quote, neither the legislature nor any executive of judicial office may disregard the provisions of the Constitution in case of emergency. Section 98, therefore, anyone who declares the suspension of constitutionally guaranteed rights to travel freely, peacefully assemble, earn a living, freely worship, etc., and or attempts to enforce such suspension within the 50 independent sovereign continental United States of America is making war against our Constitution and therefore we the people. They violate their constitutional oath and thus immediately forfeit their office and authority, and their proclamations may be disregarded with impunity, and that means anyone, even the governor and the president. There you have it, ladies and gentlemen, from the legal minds of those great men that came before us in 1866, laying it out clear and plain and unarguable, simple English. If you deny people their constitutional rights because of emergency or any other diktat that you wish to enforce upon the people, you are making war against the Constitution of the United States. You have voided your office. You no longer have a right to rule and are, in fact, an enemy domestic to the United States. So let's go ahead and just enforce the rules that are in place. Let's just follow the laws as they stand and not let these globalists run roughshod over our rights by scaring us into submission. Powerful stuff. All right, let's try to get through some of these calls. Thank you so much for holding, guys. I really do appreciate it. Corey in Nevada, been holding for a while, and thank you once again. What do you got for us about the Vegas rally here on the air?
Hey, how's it going, man? Thing about, like, I think Brad was saying on Friday, like two calls before me, They were talking about William Barr and how he was just been like not very good.
Mm-hmm.
I was really hoping that like Trey Gatto was going to get that position.
You know, wouldn't that have been great? I mean, you have Trey Gatto, you have Devin Nunez, you have a lot of people that sort of like looked really good and were like, oh man, these guys are champions, and then suddenly they've kind of fallen off. You got to wonder what that's about. William Barr is an enigma to me because there's so much of his past and so much of his heritage and history that is questionable, and yet he has been such a positive force in so many ways. He at least says the right things. I want to see action behind his words. What do you think the likelihood is that we're going to get that?
I really don't think very much likely, man, because, I mean, he was a Bush guy.
Yeah.
I mean, so, like, he's kind of in the club.
He is. He definitely is. So we'll keep an eye out. Once again, I don't, you know, you just don't worship these people. You just don't trust them implicitly. You hold them to account and you make them back up their words with actions. They can always say the right thing. That really doesn't matter. It's what actually occurs. It's the arrests that need to be made. Yeah, there he is with Poppy, old Poppy Bush there. William Barr sitting next to him, and his father was involved with Epstein. There's a lot of shady stuff behind William Barr, so I'm always sort of taking everything he says with a grain of salt. Thanks for the call, Corey in Nevada. Let's go to John in Virginia. John in Virginia, thanks for calling in. You're on the air.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I'll try to make it quick. So I've been trying to follow the news lately, and I know that especially if there's if Joe Biden charged criminally, that this would change a lot. But I have a feeling that I'm probably going to be undecided until like at least the debates or something like that. And since they seem to be like, since Biden and Trump seem to be pretty similar on like things like taxes and also with the energy sector as well, what would you say to like someone like me who's undecided to try to sway them to vote for Trump?
Oh, great question. I'd say take a look at Trump's actions since he's been in office. Take a look at what he's done. Take a look at your own life, whether you're doing better than you were 4 years before. That's the classic pitch, of course. But really, I don't even need to pitch Trump to you. I think if you can't recognize what he's done yet, you might not be able to see it. Instead, I'd take a look at Joe Biden and just recognize that this is a man whose brain is faltering, who is not well, who is being forced upon the Democratic Party. He is not a smart choice. He is incapable of thinking for himself, which means really what he is a placeholder for the New World Order. He's the puppet that people are pulling the strings for. And if you just look at the his appearances, his you know, what he's doing these days with his little broadcast that he's doing, the man is not fit to be the president of the United States. And, you know, that's not something I'd say about a lot of the other Democrats, but there's a reason that somebody so unfit is being groomed for this role and is being, you know, propped up in this way. It's because it makes him easier to manipulate. It's because it makes him less capable of exercising his office in a way that is effective and powerful against the interests that are taking advantage of you and your family. So you've got to take a look at that and know that Joe Biden is being put up there. He's being presented to you because he is incapable of exercising the office on his own and will therefore rely on those around him who we don't know. We don't know if we can trust them. We don't know what their motivations are. And I think once the debates do happen, there will not be so many undecided voters in the United States. There will be Trump voters and there will be suckers who fell for a trick and have a wool over their eyes. That's going to do it for us. That's the War Room, Harrison Smith at Harrison the Good on Twitter.